The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. It's another edition of our Around the Clock with 24/7 Sports series. We've been loving this because we get to check in at programs all over the country with our insiders, with our boots on the ground. They know these teams, they know these rosters and these programs better than anyone else. Today, we are looking at the North Carolina Tar Heels, and that's why we've got Ross Martin from Inside Carolina. Ross, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Hey, Chip, I really appreciate it. You know, a longtime listener, so it's great to join the podcast and talk some Tar Heels and what we expect to be a pretty exciting season with a Heisman candidate and tons of expectations for Mac Brown and the Tar Heels.
So the if you've been listening to these, you understand the format. We put 15 minutes on the clock, try to really dive into this. And Bud Elliott mentioned this, I think it was last week on the Iowa State show. This is going to be a great opportunity. If you, North Carolina fan, first of all, if you haven't signed up for a VIP subscription to Inside Carolina, you're just doing it wrong. They got deals running all the time. Make sure you go over to Inside Carolina, check out how you can be a part of those message boards, getting all that good insight from the recruiting trail, from what things are going on, football and basketball. But say you're a North Carolina fan that also is interested in some of the biggest teams in the country, an Oregon, an Iowa State, a Georgia. Well, you should go listen to those episodes of Around the Clock. We're going to put them all in playlists on Spotify. We're going to put them in playlists on YouTube, youtube.com/cover3. So maybe put it in July. Listen to it in August. This is going to be great content for you to bookmark and come back to. So we've been excited to do it. And now, Ross, if you're ready, I'm going to put 15 minutes on the clock. Let's dive in on the Tar Heels.
Let's do it.
Going to your biggest bowl game in 70 years or 1949 or whatever, and having the huge wins against Miami, you know, having a win against Virginia Tech, two coastal division rivals. I know it wasn't a division season. A lot of excitement and momentum. You had one of the best offenses in the entire country. You had one of the most prolific quarterbacks in the entire country. Do you think that throughout the program and the fan base, that was met and that is the way that they look back at the season? Or do you think the frustrations of the loss to Florida State and the loss to Virginia and how a 10-win team might have come out with 8 wins probably stands out the most as we sit here to discuss it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The loss to Florida State and kind of the closing fourth quarter and the loss to Virginia, a very high-scoring affair, 44-41. Those two stand out to me. But, I mean, I think fans will look back, and this is kind of what you expected with the progression of Mac Brown at UNC. 7 wins in his first year, 8 wins in a kind of a shortened, weird COVID season, and got to that big bowl game in a weird way. But they could have won 2 more games. It could have been, you know, a one-loss team heading into the bowl game against Texas A&M. They let 2 go against Florida State and Virginia, but a very explosive offense, and which you would hope continues into next season. And expectations are riding high. It's kind of a fever here in Chapel Hill. The passion is coming back for UNC football. And when you have that quarterback like Sam Howell, which I'm sure we'll talk about, you can do a lot of things. So the trajectory is going up. And there's tons of hope of what this team can do if they can put some more things together and kind of build on the recruiting blocks, which Coach Brown and his staff kind of established in 2019 and kind of built each season to get the roster where it needs to be right now, heading to year three in 2021.
Sam Howell helps like mask any other concerns. Yeah. You know, North Carolina football fans have always existed. There's always been a segment, you know, basketball's crazy, you know, everything. We understand that. But there have been some football diehards within the North Carolina fan base. Now some of the North Carolina casuals are starting to join them. And North Carolina casuals love this because they can just look at a quarterback. Sam Howell, awesome. Heisman Trophy, ACC Championship, let's go. But below the surface, where are you looking? Like, is it wide receivers? I think that, you know, you could look at Kafre Brown, you could look at Josh Downs. Like, you can start to find some talent. Obviously, Bo Corrales is back. The running back room, we got some influx from transfers. The offensive line, man, I'm like coin flip on how I feel about that group from game to game and day to day. So in the non-Sam Howell offensive division, what either has your attention for being really excited about it or maybe being a little bit concerned about it?
Yeah, I think the concern starts with running back. There's no names that have experience at UNC. They brought in transfer Ty Chandler from Tennessee, who has a lot of experience, 4 years in Knoxville. He expects to be, you know, the number one running back at UNC to replace Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, who had one of the most incredible seasons for any running back in UNC history. They're both in the NFL now. So Ty Chandler, they have a freshman they like in Caleb Hood, who makes the transition from quarterback, an in-state guy. I think he's going to be in the mix, kind of the top three running backs there. And then DJ Jones expects to be number three. We just don't know, though. We know Ty Chandler, and they like him, and they're very happy with what he did. But there's just question marks there. And it's going to be hard to replicate what Carter and Williams did. I mean, you saw them against Miami. They were incredible. And I don't think UNC is going to have that production this year. So they have to find ways to, you know, get to average, get to above average at running back and go from there. You mentioned the offensive line. They return all five starters. Now, it was all five starters from probably, I'd say, a mediocre group. They had their moments. They need to work on protecting Sam, and that's the bread and butter. Keep him upright. Sam Howell has to make some better decisions in terms of taking sacks, getting the ball out to running backs or to easier routes, throw the ball away. Those are kind of things he's working on. But you got to like, you know, that veteran experience in the offensive line in the run game, the continuity, the chemistry. You have some veterans who've, you know, 3 year starters now, Brian Anderson, Marcus McKeithen, Joshua Zudu. Those names, those guys have played together now for 3 years. So you have to like the experience at offensive line. And then wide receivers, I think there's a lot to like at wide receiver. They did lose Diami Brown. He is a deep threat, one of the best deep threats in UNC history. He's now with the Washington football team. So you have to replace that deep threat, which is the bread and butter of Phil Longo's offense. But there's a lot of names. I mean, Josh Downs is the breakout name. Remember that name. He had a breakout game in the Orange Bowl. He should be the guy. Bo Corrales, we know him and what he can do. He's back and healthy. And names like you mentioned, Kafre Brown, Antoine Green. There's some young guys they like. Emory Simmons has proven some things. So I think there's less concern at wide receiver. And I think there's some excitement at wide receiver with what Josh Downs brings. But that group is really going to determine how well Sam Howell can play. I think, obviously he's awesome, but you have to have good receivers as well. So if they can step up, I think that's important for his Heisman chances, for UNC's chances. I think the running backs would be solid. I think if the wide receivers can kind of get to that above average elite level like they were last year, the sky's the limit for this offense because of that returning O-line, because of how great Sam Howell is. Look, Sam Howell is the best quarterback in UNC football history.
Period.
And that's incredible to see after two seasons. He's so accurate, so consistent. Can win. He gets better in the fourth quarter. So when you have that good quarterback, like you said, the team can do some special teams in the ACC, special things in the ACC.
So his pass attempts per game went down. And I guess, you know, you could say that, yeah, like, well, look at those 2,000-yard rushers that, yeah, you've got right beside you. But it, to me, that's the, like, I'm looking at Sam Howell and I'm saying, if you want to live up to these expectations, you are going to have to do it. He is not going to be a system quarterback who thrives just because Phil Longo is a great offensive mind and certainly one of the best assistant coaches in the ACC, one of the best coordinators in the ACC. But like, if he was throwing it around a good bit as a freshman, then his pass attempts per game went down as they were more run to set up the pass. With the questions at the running back room and with even an offensive line that really needs to make sure that they come in the best shape and ready to dominate, it really might be some, we need Sam to carry a larger load along the way. Do you think he's, is he ready?
I think he can go out and win games. I mean, he's been doing that all along. You saw what he did against Miami in his freshman year coming back. I mean, he's had a bunch of fourth quarter comes back. I mean, he can do it. I mean, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. And I think they have the wide receivers to make that happen. So they have all the confidence in here. I mean, he is playing at a super elite level. They're going over NFL tape now. They're kind of beyond the college level. I mean, he started 25 games. You know, they're looking at NFL tape. They're looking at NFL coverages. They're getting him ready for the league and that first round draft pick selection. Just fine tuning things and enhancing his game and making him a better, more mobile guy. And I think with wide receivers they have, he'll be better than he's been. You just hope that running game kind of catches up to make that offense as balanced as it was last year. Cause that's when it was so special. Like you said, when Michael Carter and Javonte Williams were trucking people and breaking off 25 yard runs, that's when UNC's offense really clicked with the balance there. So you kind of hope that can happen again in 2021.
You've been on a topic that I've definitely been paying attention to this offseason, which is really trying to draw attention to the North Carolina secondary and just the pieces that are there. And they were a little bit banged up through last year, so we didn't always get to see everybody healthy at the same time. A player like Tony Grimes really played so much better late in the season when, shocker, he should have been a senior in high school. It took him a little while to get his feet under him after the, you know, showing up a little bit late. But, like, do you think that North Carolina has one of the best secondaries in the ACC? Like, where are you setting this right now in terms of your expectations? Because that's something that could be a really, really unique thing. And I don't know if we've said individuals in the North Carolina secondary have been really good, but I don't know if as a unit we've seen a group that on paper looks this good in a long time.
Yeah, I think the three corners they have in Kyler McMichael, a Clemson transfer who started last season, Storm Duck, who was injured last season but played really well as a freshman, and then, of course, Tony Grimes. Those three guys can be vying for two spots, but they'll be in dime a lot, so I think you'll see them interchange but play together as well, and they're big. They're all above, you know, 6 foot, 6'1". Dre Bly has a type, I think. He likes his big corners, which is surprising for a short cornerback to dominate UNC. So I think cornerback, they're set. I mean, they have those three guys, and even if one guy gets injured or gets banged up, they have some depth there with DeAndre Hollins. I think safety is a little bit more of a question. They really like Jacorius Conley, mm-hmm. who made the move. He's a freshman last year, sophomore, big guy from Havelock Jackson. He's from the eastern part of the state, I think Jacksonville. And he's a massive big, he's like 6'1", 6'2", 225, hard-hitting safety. Played nickelback last year because it was a little easier to learn. Moves to safety now because that's the most important position in Jay Bateman's defense. They make the most plays. They call the defense. They can come up and run support, which he really likes to use JQ that way. And they have Trey Morrison back there. They have some experience. There's some question marks with kind of moving guys around, but they have the bodies. And you're seeing that improvement in the recruitment that Mac Brown's done. You're seeing these kind of high-level four-star, five-star guys with Tony Grimes. Kyler Michael was a four-star. And JQ, Jacorius Conley, I mean, he was a high four-star as well. You're seeing that elite kind of big body talent finally becoming sophomores and juniors. And with that talent, you're going to have a better secondary. So I think everybody's really excited to see the growth in the defense this year because that is the group that I think will be better. And if they are better and live up to expectations, that's what's going to make UNC win those closer games and not let Virginia put 40 points on you, not let Florida State score whatever they scored against UNC last year. That's what's going to help UNC win games. They have the offense. I think the offense will be kind of where it needs to be. The defense making that step is going to be the key for this team. And I think they're going to be a lot better, even because they only lost Chaz Surratt. He's a great guy, but a great player. But they returned 10 starters, and everyone's getting better. And the young guys are all getting better and more experienced.
Are they getting bigger? Have we seen the physical development of those young guys who came in? And, like, you know, we're a little bit impressive. You know, we know that we've even got some freshmen that are, you know, getting all the fans excited. You know, Keyshawn Silver, everyone's wanting to talk about him. But, like, do you see for a North Carolina defense that at times, sometimes against, like, the best teams in the ACC, you can look a little small? Like, are we starting to see some changes in the recruitment? You're right, and having a tight, but then also in the strength and conditioning program and the way that they've been developing.
Yeah, Brian Hess. I mean, he's one of the most important guys for this team, the strength conditioning coach, Brian Hess there. I actually, when you asked me to come on the Cover 3 podcast, did a little reporting, went to a camp last week, and I saw Keyshawn Silver and Javari Ritzy, the true freshman in person. They are massive. I mean, that's a huge upgrade in recruiting. Those guys look the part, even as freshmen, 6'5", 6'4". You know, they look kind of like skinny. You know when your D-line kind of looks skinny and athletic because they're so jacked and ripped? That's what those two guys are. But they won't play as much in year one. But I mean, from what I've heard, talking with sources and talking with different people around the program, you got a guy like Miles Murphy, a true freshman last year. He missed the spring coming in the COVID year, has a full spring now, looks the part. You got guys like Kevin Hester, who many fans won't know, but a big body guy who's now in his third year at UNC. So that recruiting, but then the development is huge. Tony Grimes, his biggest change has been his body, adding weight. Same with Jacorius Conley. So I think the defensive line, you're going to see the biggest increase in size and increase in athleticism. The big body's there, finally getting to where they have the depth. They have enough players that can roll out and run those kind of like the two deep, which all defensive line coaches love to have to, you know, be able to rush on third down and have all the depth they need there up front.
So when you started to break down the schedule, and we've had some offshore win totals from different places start to come out, where, you know, we'll be doing our win totals episodes in July, where we start to, you know, make our official Cover 3 predictions all along the way. Have you set a number or a record yet for your personal call?
You know, I think 10 wins is possible. I mean, you just want to go through it here, Chip?
Sure.
All right, Virginia Tech. I mean, I think that is the first game could be a win, right? Win. Georgia State, win. Virginia, win. Georgia Tech, win. Duke, win. Florida State, win. So I think
Mac Brown's first career win against Florida State.
Yeah, you know, I listened to the Florida State podcast with Bud, too, so I was kind of doing some research there. I think they should win all those. I think they'll be favored in all those. Yeah. Now, I think Virginia Tech is a little dicey. It's the first game. You know, the nerves for young players, and it's up in Blacksburg on a Friday of Labor Day weekend. It should be rocking there. But you expect them to win those six. Now, do they? This is UNC football. 5-1 may be what happens. I think Miami's a huge game. They have Miami and then Notre Dame. Those are the two biggest games on the schedule. If they split those, I think that would be the ideal result. Now, can they go up to Notre Dame in South Bend on October 30th, Halloween weekend, and get a W? That would be incredible. It's going to be a huge game. It's going to be on national television. That's the big game to circle. But I think Miami, Notre Dame, back-to-back, they have a bye week in between, which is huge. Having the bye week between playing the Fighting Irish is big. And then it's Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, Wofford, and State. On paper, those seem all winnable. Pittsburgh, maybe more of a toss-up up in Pittsburgh on a Thursday night.
A short week, too. Isn't it a Wake to Pitt short week?
Yeah, and I think the Wake game is the out of conference game too for those counting at home. So look, I think two losses would be maybe what you expect. I think 11-1 would be incredible. 10-2, 9-3, that range. But I think 10-2. Is the safe bet. What are the win totals at, Chip?
Like, I think that we have hit our time, so I want to get one more overtime question in right now. So when it comes to if North Carolina, whether it's a 9-3 or whether it's a 10-2, if North Carolina can make it to Charlotte and they are staring down the Clemson Tigers, do you think that it is an achievement just getting there, or do you think you want to see how the game plays out before you want to declare this like a successful meeting expectation season?
I think getting there, that's the goal. That's a successful season. I think so. I mean, it's Clemson. Look, I mean, I don't think UNC's at that level yet. You know, I did play them 21-20 in year one. But I think getting there is the goal. That's success in year three for Mac Brown. Build on that. You know, winning 10 games would be huge. Winning, you know, 9 or 10 games, getting to 11 would be huge. You're seeing the upward progression, as I said earlier. So I think getting the AC championship game and then see what happens against the Tigers, assuming Clemson gets there, would be a great season, consider success, and you build from there. And it's all happening here in Chapel Hill under Mac Brown. And exciting, man. I mean, talking to friends and stuff, there's more excitement for UNC football than I've ever seen, having gone to UNC and covered the team for the last 9 or 10 years.
You weren't in there in the building for Judgment Day when like Florida State came and College Game Day was here back in like 97,
yeah,
I think.
Chip, I grew up a Georgia Tech fan.
What?
A lot of people don't know that. Yeah, my dad went to Georgia Tech. Growing up in Greensboro, you cheer for UNC and you cheer for, you know, Wake down the road and, you know, a lot of Duke fan friends, but I was a Georgia Tech fan. But yeah, I really didn't get into UNC football until my brother went to Carolina back in like 2000, 2001.
Very cool. All right. I mean, listen, if you're cheering for Georgia Tech because your dad went there, then that's going to get you way more cred in like elementary and middle school than just being like, I like the golden black, you know, like just choosing a team just for the color.
That 2004 Yellow Jacket basketball team was awesome.
Luke Schencher.
Yeah.
Big Bird, yeah, baby. Schencher, ride or die.
BJ Elder.
Ishmael Muhammad. Yeah. We can take it all the way. He is Ross Martin. You can follow him on Twitter at @RossMartin_IC. Inside Carolina is where you get all of the best North Carolina football and basketball coverage. Go and sign up for their VIP deal so that you can get full access to all the insider information. Ross, thank you very much.
Appreciate you.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.